In the morning, Free got in, and as he started to pull out of his driveway, he saw a grenade, pin still attached, roll out from under the car. He managed to jump from the vehicle before the other grenade blew up. He was uninjured and lucky. He went into hiding. Next, it was back to the Midwest. Bar owner Richard Lee Foster had been impressed enough with Savage's handling of his complaint with the Keogh Company to sign on for another job. But this time, the results weren't as good. Over 3 nights, beginning August 10th, members of the gang planted an assortment of bombs in Harry's 63 Club, a St. Paul bar, competing with Foster's. None of the devices functioned properly, and for the first 2 nights the bombers crept back into the bar to remove them. On the third night, with the bombs smoking and setting off alarms, the police bomb squad beat them to it. "They just couldn't get it right," says ATF Special Agent Tom Stokes. "They were like the gang that couldn't shoot straight or think straight. Sometimes you had to wonder if this whole thing wasn't a comedy of errors." On August 26th, the comical bumbling ended. On that day, according to investigators, Savage sent Dutra back to Georgia, and for the first time, the gang struck with deadly accuracy. Richard Braun, who had escaped death once before, was machine-gunned as he drove his Mercedes-Benz out of his driveway. Braun's 16-year-old son, who was also in the car, was slightly wounded and watched his father bleed to death. The want-ad killers next took an assignment from an Arkansas man named Larry Gray, who wanted his ex-wife's boyfriend, a Fayetteville law student named Doug Norwood, eliminated. 4 days after the Braun killing, Norwood answered the door of his apartment, and two men came at him with an electric-charged stun gun. Norwood escaped after punching one and throwing the other through a glass door, but was wounded by gunfire as he fled from his apartment. He ran to a car parked nearby and asked a man standing next to it for help. "He just looked at me, slowly got into the car, and drove away," Norwood recalls. That was because Norwood had stumbled up to his assailant's getaway driver, a man he would later come to know as Richard Savage. Norwood then ran into a nearby laundromat and called the police. His attackers, later identified as William Buckley and another Savage associate named Dean DeLuca, managed to escape. Norwood had no idea why he was being attacked or who was after him. He bought a .357 Magnum and started carrying it wherever he went. However, the weapon didn't help him much on October 1st. That afternoon, when he turned the ignition key in his car in a University of Arkansas parking lot, a bomb beneath his car partially exploded. The car was destroyed, but Norwood escaped without injury. While some members of the gang waited for another chance to get Norwood, others were working on new assignments.